right. BA started up. Let's go to a show where we're rocking all night. I got an army, wanna party with 30 extra guys from the dusk to dawn till our minds are gone. Hang out with hangovers and hit up a con. Houston, Texas, are you feeling the love from a giant rocket ship coming down from above? Well,
Space City Nerd.
Don't you know, well,
Space City Nerd.
That's right, we're the kings and the queens of the things that you deem absurd. Sing it with me, y'all.
Space City Nerd.
All right, nerdcore.
Got that.
Chip tune.
Got that.
Read the magazine to check out the podcast. Action figures.
Got that.
Board games.
Got that.
TV shows and video games. Yeah, we got that. Take flight on a broken satellite. All right.
Hello and welcome to the 84th edition of the Space City Nerd podcast. I'm Jesus again, and alongside today I have Ryan.
What up, Internet?
And also Sean.
1984 edition.
Oh,
what makes you 1984 edition?
Because we're on the Internet, and the Internet is basically Big Brother and Animal Farm. I don't know.
And Jade Helm like 15.
Yeah. Well, it's about Fahrenheit 451 or burn books.
You know,
it's about John Hurt walking around naked.
And when I was in high school, I grew up in Santa Fe. Like, they basically wanted to do a book burning because of the Scarlet Letters and stuff like that.
What?
Yeah. Because they wanted to take away a ton of books from the high school library.
And burn the books.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
This is not that long ago.
Yeah, maybe 10. I'm showing my age here, but maybe 12 years ago.
That still puts us at the year 2000-something, and we're burning books.
Wow. No, yeah. it was in the 99 or something.
Still.
Okay. That was the 90s then.
Yeah, the 90s were a crazy time. Was... Green Day, Friends, book burning, it's all good.
Y2K.
Now my town was crazy. They had that, and they had also, they wanted to bring prayer back into school, super hardcore. Like, they got in trouble by the federal government for it and stuff. And also, I got called into the office a bunch of times because of my, because I was the senior vice president, and I was Jesus, and I was my running mate for the presidential candidate. His name was Muhammad Asim, so we were running the Muhammad and Jesus campaign together.
Nice.
Oh, God.
And we played to the strengths of it, and we got in trouble a lot, but...
Did you have any posters with any characters on them?
As
long as
he
doesn't have any pictures of him on posters, it's okay.
No, he drew really well. So we had one where it was ending the Crusades of the past, Muhammad and Jesus at last. That was, and we won though by a landslide because I don't think anyone else was running. So, but we had fun doing it.
Yeah,
who wants to run against Jesus and Muhammad?
You had Buddha and whatchamacallit. Vishnu, but they weren't as popular.
We are recording this on May 5th, which is known as Cinco de Mayo.
Or Revenge of the Fifth,
but that's the white people appropriation of Cinco de Mayo.
Okay.
They're taking it back, No.
It's like...
I'm just kidding.
You had too many chances, I mean...
Well, no, I mean, it's the thing is, as I always tell everybody, nobody really in Mexico celebrates it unless they're actually in Puebla, which is the town where the battle was fought.
Yeah, it's a minor holiday, right?
Yeah, and I mean, it's in September is when Mexican Independence Day, which is what everybody thinks that Cinco de Mayo is, and I think this year Dos Equis made it Dos de Mayo because it was on a Saturday so they could sell more beer,
Yeah.
it'd be like people in Mexico celebrating Texas Independence Day.
It would be people in Mexico celebrating the Alamo. Wait, no, that's not, that's wrong because they lost that.
They won the Alamo,
remember when we won that totally awesome battle?
They won that battle. They just lost.
Oh yeah, wait. They did. They lost it.
Hell yeah, like they won that battle.
They won that. Like they've celebrated during 4th of July or something like that.
Well, no, it's like if they celebrated like super hardcore the Boston Tea Party.
Okay. Yeah, let's drink American bourbon. Yeah.
No, it's like, get the Lipton out.
Get the Lipton out and bourbon and be American. Guess what, guys?
I'm in the Gulf of Mexico.
Guess what, guys? We're eating hamburgers.
Imagine a bunch of just like Mexican dudes in like powdered wigs.
Powdered wigs. eating hamburgers, drinking bourbon.
Hey, they used to wear powdered wigs. Mexico was taken over by like the French and the Spanish and wherever else. So everybody had powdered wigs over there.
Yeah, Europeans.
But if they were just like running around what they thought old, you know, revolutionary Americans dressed up as, and we would just be like sitting there just like, wow, you guys are really insensitive.
Ooh, go, right? No, man, the British are coming. It's okay, slaves. Let's drink.
Oh, let's throw our slaves at them.
Wow. Oh,
anyways, moving along. Let's. What have you guys been up to for the last week or so?
I've been talking to you about this. I've been playing. Sunless Sea, which I think came out. It went out of early access maybe a couple of weeks ago. I saw it when it was on early access, and I was like, I don't want to play. I don't like playing games in early access. When I want to play a game, I want it to be done. So I finally got it. It's a Lovecraftian steampunk kind of. It's kind of like FTL, but I'm not a big steampunk guy because I always think steampunk's kind of overdone and overwrought, but I do love me some Lovecraft. And so you basically, it takes place in fallen London. London was taken underground for some reason, and underground is a giant, vast ocean called the Z. They call it Z-E-E, the Z. And you just travel through it, and you go to ports, get port reports, do quests. It's very well, it's all written. It's very, very cool, very. The way it's written is very Lovecraftian, and you just basically try to get money, try not to die in the middle of the ocean. One time I ran out of food in the middle of the sea, and I had to eat my own crew. One time I was doing really well, really well. I've been playing it for 6 hours, and the same guy doing really well, and then I was sailing, and an eye opened up in the ocean floor and looked at my crew, and all my crew started getting freaked out, mutinied, and I died.
An eyeball opened up at the bottom of the ocean?
Yes. It opened
up. Is it the Eye of Eldritch?
Yes.
Like the entire bottom of the ocean was just this one creature?
Yeah, it was this eye, and it looked at you and looked at my boat, and then there's several meters. There's your fuel, and there's your supplies. There's also terror, mm-hmm. where the longer you are in the sea, the more terrified your crew is. And if you're in the darkness too long, or you don't go back to port, they get, or you don't like do quests. But I was at like 50 terror, I'm fine. But then when that eye happened, I was at 96. And also earlier, I tried to fight some mercenaries, and I lost half my crew, and so my ship was not going at full speed, so I couldn't escape the eye, and I died.
So you just basically died to a whole bunch of nope.
Huh?
From your crew. Yeah. You died to a whole bunch of nope from your crew.
Yes.
They saw also the eye, and they're just like mutiny.
Yes. Maybe that's like the end of the game, and that's where you die.
No, you get to pick what your end game would be. Mine is I wanted to be rich, and I didn't make it that way. And when I told you all this stuff happening, it's all text. It's kind of like more of a, it's like an adventure kind of game. It's a lot of reading. If you don't like reading, you're not gonna like this game. But
I don't like words.
It's good. I like it. So I've been playing that, and then. Oh, more Mercenary Kings on my PlayStation, because I really like that game.
What have I been doing? I went to go drink a beer with Sean at the Texas Beer Refinery last Friday. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are really neat. Yeah, Sean drank a really cool-looking brown ale coconut beer.
Coconut. Oh, it was delicious. It was brown. It was their brown ale, but with, like, toasted coconut. So it was just, like, delicious. It was like fitting a macaroon into your mouth every 15 minutes.
Yeah, no, I had a lemon drop IPA, which isn't really like what it sounds like, where they just put lemons inside of it. It's more like the hop that they have is from New Zealand, and they call it lemon drop. Very sweet, very delicious IPA. Like, I was just amazed, brought back a growler of that, and brought back a growler of their Catalyst, which is, like, one of my favorite beers. And that's what I'm actually drinking tonight. So, man, I'm going to give an overview real quick. So then Sunday, I went to this one, like, craft beer place afterwards. $2 craft cans. And so I loaded up there. They let me bring some home. Sunday, watched Avengers, which we'll talk about that later. Mm. And today I received a ton of action figures from Japan. Mm-hmm. Brian, I have your tuxedo mask and awesome. Your Mars, Sailor Mars or whatever.
Sweet.
But I got myself like a really cool big chat from Aliens, which I'm really excited to, you know, pose around and stuff.
I should put those up on the site.
I will. As soon as I get this thing that Ryan and I ordered called the Foldio, and yeah. I can take really nice pictures, we'll put most of my pictures up on the site.
What's a Foldio?
It's a collapsible backdrop for small things like action figures, products, and stuff. And the way they kind of put LEDs on the sides, so it evenly lights inside, and it looks really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then so right. if Jesus puts his figure in there, you can kind of see it very, 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 very nice there. So
back to last week, you are still totally action figure crack dealer man.
Yeah, I am.
He's like, I'm just your average toy collector. I just have a collapsible backdrop that I use for my.
And then today I got good news. My R9 290 card, I sent it off to Aces to get fixed. It's coming back on Thursday, so we will have Friday Night Gaming and again. So I'll be able to play like Counter-Strike again.
Cool.
Nice. And
actually, no, you know what? I've been waiting for it because I've been playing Dragon Ball Xenoverse.
Mm-hmm.
And then my card broke down and I ended up like playing other games, and I'm like, man, these look like crap. And I did not want to go back to Dragon Ball Xenoverse because I was so scared that it was going to look as pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept away from it, and so I'm waiting until I get the graphics card to like launch it up again.
Hmm.
But that's been my week so far, Sean.
Mine was basically started last Thursday. Went to go see like the first showing of Avengers at 7 o'clock.
Is that the earliest you can watch the Avengers?
That was the earliest we could watch it because I'm starting to become an old man, and the prospect of staying up past 11 o'clock for a movie wasn't really my speed. So we saw that, and then we had enough time to come home and sleep before 10 o'clock. so, I mean, you know, Friday, Saturday worked. Sunday was my niece's and my goddaughter's her first communion. So basically went to church for the first time.
You're Catholic?
Yeah.
Are you Daredevil?
No, I'm
Catholic.
At best, I'm foggy.
Do you feel guilt all the time?
Oh yeah, the guilt comes with it. Like the guilt is like the no duh. The guilt is our Cinco de Mayo.
Holy shit! And there I go. Now I feel guilty for saying holy.
Yeah, see, there you go.
But the power of original sin.
Oh, carry on. Let's go.
That's okay. Sorry, we got sacraments. You got problems. We got sacraments. but other than that, besides work, I've just been playing a shit ton of Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's grabbed me. I understand the systems. I switched from dual blades into a really sweet gun lance I found. And in this game, the gun lance, what it is, it's like a big like lance that is also kind of like a big shotgun. It's a shotgun lance, yeah. So basically, it's not like a inky-dinky like gun blade from Final Fantasy. It's like you have to like every time you fire it, you have to like kind of reload it, and like the top pops out, the shells pop out, and it does really high damage. And you basically have like a big ass shield too. So it's kind of like a tanky weapon. And okay. Like right now, my dude's like all decked out in like a high metal armor that gives me like an artillery skill, and there's like a whole level of just like stuff where it's just like, oh, hey, there's skills. Here's how you get their skills. And then there's talismans. And then there's gems. And you equip it at. And then
it's you have the whole new 3DS, right?
Yes, I do. Okay. Yeah, so I got like that C-stick is really kind of helpful.
Okay, I was going to say, is that really, really important? Guys, I don't want to get a new 3DS, but I was kind of interested in Monster Hunter. But
I can imagine if you don't have that C-stick, you're using the lock-on a lot more, mm-hmm. right? And then it's like you have to basically kind of like lock-on, then kind of aim, especially if you're using like something that's like a gun kind of thing.
Okay.
But it's pretty cool. Like I've gone to that point where it's like I didn't realize there were so many goddamn monsters in this game, which kind of shows how ignorant I am of the franchise.
Do you play with other people, or is it just kind of your second eye? Not yet. Okay.
Not yet. Just because, like, I'm not confident enough in my abilities to not, you know, for about lack of a better word, fuck up an entire hunt with my
stick
ignorance.
To your lane, noob.
Well, I mean, so I like the weapon I have, the gun lance. It kind of has like it shot. The shot kind of goes wide, and like somebody was telling me, because I basically have what I would consider a Monster Hunter coach at work, like he kind of tells me like things, and it's just like, oh really? And it basically it's like if you hit someone with your attack, you make them flinch, and so you mess up their combos. Wow. So you're not doing damage to them, but you're kind of like interrupting them, and it's like knowing me, I'd just jump in there and I'd be pissing off everybody within, you know, 10 minutes. And so like it's so far it's a good enough game to like that you can solo it. It's not like you know, insane. But then again, it's like I'm not at that G rank, I guess. I'm still kind of playing through like the actual story mode. But I've already killed like a shit ton of cool badass looking dragons and monsters.
I haven't played a lot of Monster Hunter, but I actually, since I owned a Vita before I owned 3DS, I played a lot of Monster Hunter clones. Like,
I tried it. It was too complex, so I threw it away.
I played Ragnarok Odyssey, I think. Yeah.
That's kind of.
Oh, I forgot to mention, I had people over at my apartment for the fight, for the Pacquiao fight, and we were all disappointed.
As an Xboxing fan, don't get me started on that.
I don't really want to dwell on it. I did feel kind of robbed. People helped. I mean, when I had friends come over, they were like, "Hey, we're already staying at your place. Here's a couple of bucks just to help pay for
the $100
so,
fight."
The fight was a pay per view. It was $100.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you about something on the internet. It's called the WWE Network. It's only $9.99.
Let me tell you something, though. I didn't feel like paying for it because, like I said, I really hate boxing after a couple of years. Like, I was there during the golden years, and, you know, after the trend of that. Before De La Hoya.
Okay.
You know, but I refused to pay for it, but I was like, you know what? I'm tempted to watch the fight. So I went through a bunch of links to try to just stream it illegally. Mm. I found one. Funny thing is, it was from China. And the even funnier thing is, 4chan was in that room. And it was like 120,000 people, excuse me, from 4chan on that stream watching it. And the way I could tell was, of course, the chat, like when you chatted, whatever was in the chat box would go through the screen. Mm-hmm. It would like scroll through it. I mean, we all know maymays and stuff, and it was just like nonstop of that. And a lot of people were like, "Who SP here?" Which is the sports board, and but it was like, I think that was the the silver lining for the fight is me watching the fight with 4chan. Then that shows you how bad the fight was.
It was horrible. And I think that people said that we probably won't see a fight like this, charged like this anymore. People are kind of pissed. So they kind of... So
yeah, Mayweather's September fight is not going to be nowhere near $100 showing.
And also, so Pacquiao is also in surgery now because he had a torn rotator cuff, shoulder. Yeah, he fought with that. You know why? Because he just wanted to check. He just wanted that check.
It was like $400 million for the winner and like $200 million for the not winner.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot. And which oh, they yeah. don't need. They're freaking rich, but they're like, whatever, dudes.
Yeah. No, well, the thing is, it's like, I know a lot of people went in looking for the fight of the century, looking for, like, you know, knocking out and, you know, someone winning by knockout by, like, the third round.
Yeah.
But they stuck to what they know, which is, you know, kind of being light fighters, you know, Mayweather dodges a lot and everything. But when you have that many eyes on you, you have to make a show out of it.
Yeah. You have to. And
it's like, good for the business because you bring in so many new eyes.
Yeah. And plus, I mean, I know Mayweather doesn't care because he's rolling around in cash and swimming it like Scrooge McDuck, but like everyone on the internet hates him. It's all like all the memes are all anti-Mayweather.
I mean, aside from his like cockiness and everything, he does have a very bad history.
That's true.
Yeah. And it's like, how can someone with that much money
be? What bothers me about like Mayweather and I guess people like Mayweather is just like they use the wealth as a valediction of their behavior, and they start to adopt that, you know, haters gonna hate attitude, where it's just like, I don't have to answer to nobody because I'm rich.
Exactly, and that's
it. Just perpetuates the worst way.
Yeah, but I mean, like Pacquiao, I know he, you know, I know he wanted that check, but he's still a pretty good person.
Yeah. He still wanted to win.
Yeah, he's still positive and stuff. I do like his interview at the end.
They asked that was
him,
awesome.
Yeah, they asked him, like, hey, what did you think about the fight? He's like, I thought I won. And they're like, why? Because he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Let's move along from that. Also, I guess all of us already watched Avengers. We will give a very, very short review in case there's anything that you need to spoiler, don't spoiler, or cover your tracks somehow. Okay. But, Ryan, what did you think about it?
Well, we were talking about it a couple of days ago, and I think I was being too mean at the time. I think it's a good movie. Is it Marvel's greatest? No. It sets up a lot of stuff, and I kind of expected a lot of like huge revelations, like, oh my god, that's gonna happen.
Like, but Spider-Man's here.
It's like, this guy's gonna happen, and there's like one or two of those, but it's not like Winter Soldier. Kind of like revelations, like they said Dr. Stephen Strange's name. No, they said this, they did that. It's just, we're at a point now where everything is all readily available. It's just watching the execution. So I'm like, I guess.
Sean,
see, I wasn't going into it expecting any major revelations because, to me at least, I don't feel like the first Avengers really had any kind of universe changing, sparks to it. And, you know, that I thought, like, there were a couple parts where it's like, I really would have liked it to be a little more fleshed out, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of just, like, stuff kind of happened just, like, after a montage. And you're just like, oh, hey, this dude's here. But, I mean, that's a thing where it's just like, man, I wish there was more movie. So it's like, I really did like that movie. And I don't feel like any part of it ever dragged. Everybody kind of got their nice little balance in there. Every character kind of had, like, their moment, you know, and look at it, because that's the thing to remember about this movie. It's an ensemble movie, and it's like at the end of the day, it's just like you're not really like looking at like, oh, is Tony Stark, did his character arc come, you know, fully around? It's just like, well, you know, you had his, I guess, his catalyst, and then his action, you know, and everybody had those, and then it fit into a three act structure, and to me, that's a good movie. It wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't the revelation that, you know, the first one was, where it's like you're sitting there in your seat and your eyes are just like relaying information to your brain via neurons, and your brain is just going like, no, we don't. These are comic book characters. Like, you grew up on these. They're not on the screen right now.
Well, I mean,
there's not that moment of disbelief of just like, I can't believe I'm seeing this.
Well, we can't get the whole wildness of the first Avengers because we never expected the Avengers to happen. In that scale.
Exactly.
Well, the thing, like, with me, I actually have, like, one complaint and then two very positives. One very positive and two complaints. And one complaint is that it's supposed to be the end of Phase 2. Mm-hmm. And the first Avengers movie was the end of Phase 1.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Avengers movie laid down an end. And then every movie after that built upon Phase 2.
Yep.
And in this one, it's bridging, you know, Phase 2 and Phase 3 together.
Yeah.
Which that to me I didn't like, because I wanted a finality to a bunch of things there instead of opening.
It felt like a stopgap instead of an actual.
Yeah,
it's finishing an arc.
Well, now I mean, to me, it's like you drop all the what you think you know about, like, what phase two is, what phase three is. It's like, as I know there's, like, movie schedules, but it's like, if you kind of think of, like, Avengers 2 as the sequel to Winter Soldier and Iron Man 3, I think it works as, like, kind of a conclusion for those movies. But it doesn't really have anything to do with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
This is a flagship title, though. This is, like,
right.
This is Marvel Studios, like, this is where everything has to be defined. Mm-hmm. And I don't like it where it wasn't. I don't like the fact that it wasn't defined. It was left out in the open, you know, until Infinity War in what, 2017, 2018, or whatever.
Yeah.
So
17. Yeah, 18,
well, I mean, whatever the movie's coming out now, we're going to lead towards that. But I feel like it defined exactly what Iron Man is and what Captain America is.
Well,
is, you know, going like into 3DS, like their next batch.
You know the 3DS, how you... Yeah, exactly. That's not how it goes, though, to me. You know in your 3DS when you have those Street Pass puzzles and you put pieces together, then you move on to the next one? That to me is what Avengers is. The end of that puzzle and moving... And then you got to move on to put pieces to the next one.
Well, also, I think that the last two movies, Guardians and Winter Soldier, were so good that it did not compare to... Avengers 2 did not compare to. Especially Winter Soldier, which is my favorite one of all the Marvel movies.
I wonder if they're trying to make Captain America the flagship title. I mean, Civil War is going to be amazing, you know.
I think Civil War is going to have more changes than more changes throughout the whole MCU than Avengers 2 did.
I mean, Iron Man and Captain America were arguably the two main characters. It's like, if you're talking about, like, you know, what the conflict is and... You know, who actually represents, like, two ideologies being represented in the movie. It's Captain America and Iron Man. So it's, in a way, it's kind of like building up to Captain America 3, you know, the Civil War stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, I overall enjoyed it. And the other two, the compliments that I had is, like, I really enjoyed watching a lot of flying things from, like, a car.
And... Oh, the fight scenes were all spectacular.
And the 18-wheeler, like the cargo area that was just flying around, I could not stop laughing at that. Yeah. I don't know why.
There were some good lines. It's very quippy, which is what Joss Whedon has. That he likes like very quippy characters. They're very
witty lines. It made me want to watch a sitcom of like the Avengers on their off time.
You know? Or maybe want to watch a Quentin Tarantino movie where they're also very quippy. Right.
That was like the funnest part of the movie. Was like kind of like the whole party stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Like James Spader acting. I really enjoyed James Spader's performance. He's very
He rocks. Yeah.
Ultron was good. And so my other complaint was, I'm pretty sure everybody knows that Vision is in this movie. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a big dead giveaway. And so the way that he was played, I really wish Ryan Gosling played him. Just how odd he was, like he would stare sometimes. So I was just imagining Gosling's cute face, you know, just
stared away. He didn't drive. Just like, what? What is it, Vision? Real human being.
So as I left the theater, I went to watch it on Sunday. As I left the theater, I checked my phone, and the Suicide Squad picks happened.
Oh, yeah.
Really quick, because we're running really long on this segment. Yeah. Ryan?
I'm not too happy with it. Margot Robbie looks cute, but her outfit looks like a roller girl. Kind of looks kind of lame. The tattoos are kind of lame. Katana needs to comb her hair. Also, I did not know. she really needs to comb her hair. Otherwise, she looks cool. And Killer Croc looks really weird. And I expected him to be bigger.
Yeah, he needs to be way taller. Sean?
I'm kind of thumbs down, and I'm sorry. I don't know why this movie's being made. I really don't.
Yeah, I could see it as kind of there's Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, like their side team, the Suicide Squad.
But I mean, like, the concept of a Suicide Squad, even as, like, a comic, wasn't like, man, these characters are so great, we need to give them a title. It was, hey, let's just reach into the garbage basket of what we're not doing shit with and throw it in a book.
I can already tell Slipknot and El Diablo are probably going to be, like, fodder right there.
Yeah. There's so many of them. Guardians worked, there were five of them. And it was a Star-Lord story, so they kind of have him as a focal point with the other characters around him. But
exactly, how
are you gonna do? It's how are you gonna put all these characters and no one know? You gotta assume no one knows who any of them are.
This is not gonna be the usual suspects of comic book movies. I'm sorry.
Also, Captain Boomerang looks like a pimp.
It's like I recognize Deadshot, you know, and that's gonna be probably your marquee guy.
Looks like he just like Will
but
Smith.
But there's two other dudes that are like holding machine guns in it. So it's like, why do I care about those guys?
Slipknot and Jack Lang or Sergeant Flag or whatever.
Yeah, Slipknot. You can only tell that was Slipknot because he had like a rope on his side.
Who do they fight?
The Joker, probably. Jared Leto's Joker.
DC coming out with like Batman versus Superman, and then if Marvel came out with like the Salt Lake City Avengers. here's Elastic Man.
No, Great Lakes Avengers.
Great Lakes Avengers, yes, right. I'm sorry.
Elastic Man.
Immortal Man, and yeah.
Another Howard the Duck movie would be more relevant to me than Suicide Squad.
Hey, Howard the Duck is cool now, apparently.
A Damage Control movie would be more relevant to me than Suicide Squad.
Oh, man. So, I mean, we're talking about DC right now and everything. The Batman season pass got announced. I haven't heard about it. Sean, you work with video games. Can you tell me about it?
I didn't know you were going to ask me for like the actual details. I'm going to have to like...
Yeah, you don't have to give like super details.
All I know is it's just like slap your mama expensive.
Yeah, well, so like I think I skimmed over what you get. You get Batgirl's story. I thought she was Oracle. They showed her as Oracle, I don't know, whatever. And I think there's a few before and afters with like characters from the game. So I'm guessing Robin and Nightwing, maybe some Catwoman.
Yeah, Robin.
And then of course challenge maps. Challenge maps. And
skins for the Batmobile and courses.
If I can make it the skin of like the animated series Batmobile, I thought that'd be kind of neat.
How much did you say that was going to be, Sean?
That's the origin season pass. I think it's about $40.
WB games.
So Mortal think Kombat. About it. Like if you're someone who's buying like the collector's edition already, you're getting the game, the statue. That's $100 right there. You know, you want a strategy guide because it usually has like some kind of cool art stuff. That's another $40 right there.
There's a lot of stuff in the game. You gotta get all those ruler trophies. You gotta get a guide.
And not to mention, there's probably going to be, like, a whole mess of, like, pre-order stuff, too. It's just, like, it's, like, guys, like, I get that, you know, you wanted to, like, have...
Is it going
to
be, like,
extra content?
Is it going to be, like, Arkham City, where I cannot get all of the content? I have to buy the game 5 times to get all the content?
Probably.
Like, from different, like, stores? Like, I can't get this skin because Best Buy has it. GameStop has this skin. Freaking Amazon has this skin. Fuck.
Or PlayStation has this skin.
PlayStation has Joker portion and Xbox.
I think the PlayStation gets the classic, like the Adam West Batman skin and classic Batmobile skin,
and then
like the TV Batmobile. And so it's just like, oh my gosh, there's like so much like just stuff out in the ether.
Well, WB
like,
Games,
$40, you're not gonna just like tie it together, you know?
Freaking WB Games.
That's, the video games are getting so expensive if you want the complete experience.
Hey, Sunless Sea is $15, okay, guys?
Well, I mean, I'm talking about, like, AAA titles, you know? It's like, we'll talk about this next one. Maybe we'll talk about indie games that we've been playing a lot and everything. But that's insane. I just, and it's stuff that can, if the game is going to be, like, 10 hours long, and then you have, like, that much of a season pass,
yeah,
that's just, like... highway robbery right there.
Well, I mean, so you take the news of like the season pass, the $40 season pass, and then you basically remember like how many times this game was delayed, And then you just kind of get into like this real thing, weird thing where it's just like, what exactly has been going on? Like, why did they suddenly
they've been adding.
Yeah, WB's like, add more stuff. And the Rocksteady
did they have
like,
this done so long ago that they basically finished it and they've been working on all this stuff? Like,
yeah, they're adding DLC. That's what they're
doing. Yeah.
Wow. That's insane. Well, we've had a very first long segment. Thank you for sticking around with us. I hope, you know, you got something out of it.
It is the firstest.
Yeah. So we're going to go with the Mad Men Crew. They're a hip-hop group here in Houston. They will be performing at Comic Palooza. This is their track 662, and we'll be right back after this.
Are you going to go to the party?
It's going down.
So that was a 662 from the Mad Men Crew. They're going to be making an appearance at Comic Palooza, and since the month of May is everything Comic Palooza, we actually have one of the members from the Mad Men Crew. Good night, Tech.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? Thanks a lot for having me on the show.
We're doing excellent. We just got done talking about Cinco de Mayo and Avengers 2 and stuff. So, we've noticed your flyer. It's been around. It's very 8-bit-ish. And I just want to get down to business. What is the Mad Men Crew about?
So the Mad Men Crew is a 3-piece hip-hop crew in Houston, Texas. And we're very inspired by a lot of East Coast and West Coast rap. I guess the best kind of bands that or groups that we try to make an ode to is the Wu-Tang Clan, Beastie Boys, A Tribe Called Quest. So yeah, man, we just like having fun. A big mantra for us is partying and having a good time. So
those are some mighty big shoes to fill, though.
Yeah, we're ready for it. We're ready for it, no doubt.
Well, that's good. No, I'm glad that you know you guys got the confidence and all that. You know, one of the aspects of the flyer that we've been seeing around is it's very 8-bit-ish and all that.
Yeah.
Is the band inspired by, you know, any of the nerd culture?
Yeah, we really are. We're definitely big comic book fans. I'm definitely a big Marvel fan. Even our office where we conduct our business and everything, we call it the Danger Room. So it's very – it has a lot of, like, Kid Robot toys, a lot of Marvel comics posted up. It's a place where we have our organized chaos.
Mm. Danger Room, not Riker's Prison?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, no, that would have been more thug, you know?
Yeah. We're the nice thugs. We're the nice thugs. If anything, I mean, we don't even talk about, like, guns or anything. We kind of try to keep it as real as possible to who we are, like, every single day.
I understand. It's more that old school hip hop, like that Tribe Called Quest stuff. You know?
Oh, yeah, that boom bap.
Which, yeah, like last time, like today's rap is not anywhere near what yesterday's rap was at all.
Oh, yeah.
You know, subject matter. And in a sense, you know, it was a lot, you know, I know nerdcore exists today with the likes of MC Chris and MC Lars and, you know, MC Front a lot and everything. But I think there was more natural references to comic books and video games naturally back in the day, you know.
Oh, definitely. Like one lyric that comes to mind on Wu-Tang is going through your hood like the neighborhood Spider-Man, I think that's how it goes.
Yeah. And I mean, even Biggie's, like, you know, the Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis.
Oh, yeah. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this.
Exactly.
Yeah, most definitely.
So you guys are one thing I did see that you guys are going to be doing at Comic Palooza is an MCA or Beastie Boys tribute.
Yeah, this is something that we're going to be doing, and it's a first for us. We're going to do a cover of a Beastie Boys song. We're going to be covering "To Be Continued." Be at the show to find out what song we're doing. But it's going to be.
You should just sneak it that way. Build some hype.
It involves robots and involves a little bit of some Godzilla fighting action. We're going to be performing Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys.
Awesome. Ooh, those are my favorite songs.
Me too. We've been rehearsing so much, and it's so awesome. And we just have our feature DJ, DJ Nando, one. That boy knows what he's doing, and it's going to sound so dope.
I can't wait. No, that is one of it's one of the later songs. And, you know, the one that broke a lot of people into the Beastie Boys.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
You know, but it's still a great song.
No, definitely. It definitely brought them back from, like, the 80s Paul's Boutique, you know, era.
Well, I'm that old that they never went away, you know?
Oh, no, I'm in the same boat as you are. But people now, whenever I say, like, Paul's Boutique, like, what's that? And I'm like, okay, Hello Nasty. Like, oh, yeah, I love Intergalactic. I love that album, so...
So there's three of you guys. We got to know the coming together story.
Yeah, this is an epic tale. Have a seat.
We've got time, so go for it.
So give a shout out to my boy Too True and my boy Defy Logic of the Mad Men Crew. We've been doing hip hop for the longest time, but we never really met each other. I met Defy Logic in college, actually. And we did theater together at U of H, University of Houston downtown. And after parties, we have, or after after shows, we have, like, you know, the after party. And a hip-hop song comes on, and we're like, somebody just starts freestyling. And let's say that he starts freestyling. I got into it. We recognized each other's abilities, and then it was all good. During that time, I was working at, we were all working at Apple. And we met Michael Denning, a.k.a. Too True, and we just went to another party. And during that time, we just got into a freestyle, and we just recognized each other's abilities. And that's why, like, a big mantra that we have is, like, everybody have a good time, everybody party, because that's how we That's how we were formed, if anything. Mm-hmm. And from right there, we're just like, all right, man, I think we could really do something with this, with our abilities. So we decided to team up like Voltron and make things happen. So we've been together for like 3 years, officially with what I would like to say are Mad Men 2.0, because we've had previously a group of five people, and then we turned into three people, and ever since we've been on the up and up, if anything. So it's been a really fun ride, man. We're really excited for Kongpalooza. This is going to be a really major show. Very excited.
No, and I mean, I know like the stage has been shared by some really big names too on Comicpalooza before that.
Yeah.
Two years ago they had Scrub Club Records come down, which is like one of the biggest nerdcore labels perform on that stage. Like, they took over that stage. It was amazing too.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So you'll get some of that legacy with that, you know.
Oh no, I'm excited, man. I the thing is, like, I always wanted to go to Comicpalooza and any comic book convention. I never have, and the first time we're able to do this is to perform, and that's like even so much better. So I don't know what to expect, and we're just so excited, man. We're rehearsing so much throughout the week, and we're just getting ready to show everybody at Comicpalooza a really good time.
So speaking of Comicpalooza, who are you most excited to see?
Ooh. Okay, so as a Marvel fan, I'm really going to go check out Stan Lee, and I want to tell him thank you for changing my life, if anything. And also, what's his name? Kevin Eastman from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Nice.
Yeah, we actually met him last year, was it, Ryan?
Yeah, last year, last March. Not this
really
March,
cool
last
guy.
March, yeah.
Really nice guy. We got to meet him like in a relaxed environment because he was at a party that we were at. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, like one of our other guys that's not on here tonight, but he basically got like cried because he was drunk and like hugged him for so long, and Kevin Eastman was there with open arms to say it's okay.
That's funny. I might do that sober, so we'll see what happens with that. Yeah, yeah, I'm very excited about those two. Those are probably my top two, if anything.
Yeah, no. Like I said, Kevin Eastman was great to meet. And he always draws a Ninja Turtle when he does his autograph, so make sure to bring something.
Oh, yeah.
And then also make sure to prepare to stand in line for half of the day for Stan Lee to autograph something. You know?
I know. How long? I'm sure it's a very long line. I mean...
Sean, how long was the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. line?
I want to say it took maybe about like an hour and a half or so.
Okay, just translating that, you know, because they were, yeah. I think they have the kind of the same popularity last year.
Yeah, well, no. Stan Lee was still like way, way mega
okay.
over them.
So an hour and a half times four times.
I don't know. Like my girlfriend, of the, you know, she stood in the line and I walked away.
I'm going to have my fiance with me. Maybe I'll let her stand in line and I walk away. I don't know. We'll see.
Just be like, hey, here, get the sign for me. I have to go rehearse and then go check out the con.
Exactly.
She's right next to me right now, just like shaking her head. That's not going to happen. I'll see my little pretty. I got to use the restroom for an hour and a half. Right? Oh, that's a smart idea, actually.
Well, that's when you ask her what she likes and stuff, and you'd be like, hey, wait here. I'll go buy whatever you like, and then I'll be back. And then you tell her your credit card got stolen or something, and... No.
I'm writing all this down as we speak. These are all great ideas.
The way you say it, Jesus, is like you've done it several times before.
Shh.
Don't spoil it. who are y'all interested in seeing? Who's your top contenders?
Ooh.
Sean?
Oh, me? I'm a huge wrestling nerd, so like that whole side spectrum of the guest lists is like if I could go through and just like hit every single one of those guys, like Sting and Roddy Piper, you know.
We got to be there Friday for Ted DiBiase.
Ted DiBiase.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know, I completely forgot about Rod Piper. I was
totally gonna walk up to Roddy Piper and be like, man, remember when you were really buff?
Good lord.
He's gonna throw a bow at you, man. He's gonna do some pile driver action on you. It's crazy.
Yeah,
I know. And then everyone else is gonna have an autograph, and I'm gonna have a black eye. It'd be great.
Dude, awesome. Roddy
Piper gave me.
No, Roddy Piper's like, put on these glasses, and you're like, no. And
that or Roddy Piper might be too drunk to care.
That's like the Roddy Piper on what is it? Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes.
His character on that, dude, that was so awesome when he cameoed in that.
Was that really his character?
Yeah. He was just being himself, I don't know.
He's been good now, so you know. That's good too, because I know a lot of wrestlers go down that road and it's very hard when they die.
Yeah.
I wonder if I can get Henry Winkler to shine assign like a toy shark.
For Sharknado?
No. Because Henry Winkler.
Over a shark.
Yeah. I'd be like, I have a shark signed by Henry Winkler. That'd be hilarious.
Dude, that'd be so funny. You should have a diorama built.
Yeah, diorama of him.
Yeah, over some sharks.
I apologize. Nice. I have no idea where the Sharknado reference came from. So.
It's okay. I got the They Live reference a moment ago.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, put on his glasses. Yeah, I was totally talking to my coworkers who are my age about They Live, and they're like, I haven't seen They Live. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, you have not seen They Live. Oh my God. Anyway, Linda Blair is going to be there, so that's awesome. Summer Glau, but probably won't stay in line. But yeah.
I'm not going to say who, but there is a female guest that they haven't announced yet that I kind of snuck at that I can't wait to see. She was in a show that's been very popular. Starting last month. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But there's also Kyle Ebert. I'm like really, really wanting to meet him. I'm a big Street Fighter guy. He's Ryu.
Oh yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, that's gonna be great.
And actually, if you look at his voice acting list, holy crap, there is nothing that you haven't played or that you have played that hasn't had him in it.
He's in Dragon Ball. He's Gohan, right?
Oh, he's the DBZ announcer.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, so next week on Dragon Ball Z, that's that guy.
What?
That's crazy. I would not put two and two together.
Are you sure? I hated that when I was a kid, that announcer. I would just be like, what the hell? Nothing happened in this episode. You're already mad.
On the next episode.
We should get that for our podcast. Next week.
Next week, Bulma continues to talk to this frog.
He's the bane of Dragon Ball Z's existence is because he's the guy that announced the end of the show and people are like, no way. But Kyle Ebert is there. Ryan, you're a big Fire Emblem guy, right?
Not that huge.
Okay, never mind.
He's in Tenshu. I like Tenshu. I really like Tenshu.
Hey Ryan, you like Tenshu, right?
Hey.
Hey, Ryan.
We'll take it from 10. 10. Hey, Ryan. Hey, Ryan.
You like having five pairs of shoes, right?
Shut up.
10 shoes?
Yes, right? Five pairs. Shut up. Oh, he's in Bravely Default.
He's all over the place.
Yeah, I really like that game.
He's everywhere. What time are you guys going to be doing your performance over at Comicpalooza?
We're performing May 24th at 7 p.m.
Let me write. Oh, you guys got prime time. Nice.
So I heard that's a prime time. I mean, that's what. Shout out to Shane Burke from EasyCreditGroup.com. He's had our back for a long time, and he's given us this opportunity to perform at Kongpalooza this year. And when I was talking to him, I was like, I don't know. I've never experienced this. How's the room look? What's a good time? You know, because there's things going on. He's like, well, I think that's when things start winding down, so everybody's gonna go check out the music or whatever. So.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited, prime time's always
good
time.
I gotta talk that dude out. I gotta hit him up. But no, that is prime time on a Sunday since we're going on all the way until Monday.
Yeah.
That's when the dealer's room closed, people are heading out, and on the way out.
You're not competing with any panels or anything?
Yeah, exactly.
Except for the hentai panel or something, because that's after hours.
Oh, so I might be late to my own show then, because I'm gonna go check that out.
And check. Oh man, so no, we're definitely gonna be hanging around and watching you on Sunday.
Thanks a lot. We're excited to see that.
Go ahead, blast all your social media stuff right now.
Yes, so come check us out on social media. It's everything The Madmen Crew. So it's Facebook, The Madmen Crew, Instagram, The Madmen Crew, Snapchat, The Madmen Crew. And if you want to check out our mixtape called Dust Till Dawn, it's htownproud.bandcamp.com. And right now we're currently getting things together to start working on our next original album called The Modern Classic Volume 1. So stay tuned for that. And if you follow us on social media, we like showing y'all love. And thank you so much for the love. And we appreciate everything. Thank you.
Nice. Thanks. So remember, they're going to be doing some Beastie Boys, a Beastie Boys tribute, which is I'm excited to see.
Oh, yeah.
You know, done live and all that. And it's going to be at 7 o'clock on Sunday of Comic Palooza, so May the 24th.
Yep.
So, yeah. We're going to go ahead and leave you guys with another one of their tracks. This is which one is it? Ode to a Madman.
It's Ode to a Madman, yeah.
All right, so check them out on Bandcamp. He just gave the Bandcamp link. And we're going to be right back after this.
Good morning, Houston. It's Don Donaldson. You're listening to 96.7 The Bass. It's 6 a.m. and all my party people from last night are feeling a little nauseous right now, driving into work. We got a little something to ease your stomachs. It's 96.7 The Bass.
To a Madman by the Madmen Crew. You can find that at htownproud.bandcamp.com. All one word, htownproud.bandcamp.com. I'm still H-Town proud, even though the Rockets lost on Monday. Hopefully tonight will be a way better game.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, guys. I know we're nerdy and all that, but I love sports no matter what. You know? I think, wait, out of all of us... Oh, wait, sorry. Rex joined us tonight. Sorry.
Hey, you guys. I'm here finally.
I think out of all of us...
Talk to us about sports, Rex.
I NBA Jam. Space Jam, the movie.
Come on, Slam, and welcome to the jam.
No, hey, what are you going to do? I think out of all of us, I'm the one that actually follows sports the closest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a casual fan.
Yeah, and you're like one of the ones like, oh, they're in the playoffs. Yeah, Houston.
Yeah, exactly. I ain't gonna hide it. I'm a casual fan.
Wrong with that.
Yeah, I don't jump on bandwagons. I mean, I'm gonna root for Houston no matter what, but you know.
Exactly. No, I mean that's okay too. I mean, if you live in Houston, you have the right to root for them whenever they're big. It's a busy city. You're busy as well. You know?
Yep.
And what's funny is like I was talking about this earlier, but I was playing NBA 2K15 on my PS4. I haven't played it in ages. And thank you, Sean, for the game key and all that. But I started playing it, and I realized that it kept making me do the Heats versus the Spur over and over. And so,
because it's still installing.
Well, no. My train of thought before I checked it out online was, oh, maybe I have to win a game before I get into the actual, you know, main menu. Because it's a tutorial.
Yeah.
And so while I was playing it, I'm like, man, I really miss NBA Jam.
Yeah, because it's more, you can just hold down the turbo, hit Y to steal, hit B to shoot.
It was a really good game. Like,
No. NBA Jam was amazing.
Man.
Remember last year at CGF, that guy that was carrying around, what was it, Rex?
Oh, God, it was a, he was one of the original developers on the Super Nintendo NBA Jam, I want to say, and he had a circuit board of way, way back, and you can, like, look this up online, it's, like, completely legit and everything, but we didn't get to see it in action. They made two copies of a special edition of Super Nintendo NBA Jam that had the announcer guy, like, swearing in his announcements that he made. And one of, like, they made, like, two or three of them. One of them leaked to the internet, like, yeah, I guess in, like, 2011, 2012. And then he had the other one on him. They are pretty much priceless. Like, I can't even imagine what that would go for.
I mean, because the other ones, like, when they leaked onto the internet, they were ROMs. But these are actual circuit boards, you know?
Yeah, this is the actual what would have gone into the, like, what the cartridge shell would have been built around.
Man, I can't wait for Classic Games Fest this year.
Me too. It's all I think about a lot of the time.
Are you going to hug Sir Richard Garriott?
I'm going to hug a lot of people.
Lord British! Hug.
Mm-hmm.
Well, earlier, you know, we did our little social update, you know, what's going on in the week. I got to do it to you, Rex. What's been going on for 1 week?
Oh, man. So since we last recorded, I wasn't on last week because I was sick. Then I went to work where I've been doing 8-hour closes pretty much the entire since last Wednesday until I'll be doing that till Friday. And last Friday when I was leaving work, one of my brake pads fell out of my the caliper that holds it in. And I had to get it towed and pay a lot of money to get that fixed on Saturday. But it was cool because I got to sit in the lobby of Break Check and play Chroma Squad for a really long time. And I really like that game. I know, Jesus, you got it too. You kickstarted it like way back when.
I did.
And, I'm about halfway through it now.
I'll tell you this. I kickstarted Chroma Squad maybe like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was waiting so, like, I was so impatiently waiting for the release. On their April Fools, they were like, hey, you know, we're going to have to back up our release date because we're going to turn this into a strictly beat-em-up. I went in there, and I like, it was such a nasty comment. I was like, no, you're not. You've been promising this game for 2 years. You know, it was like, whatever, motherfuckers, stop it. You know?
Yeah.
And they came out April 30th. And so I was like, oh, sweet, I'm going to download this. And while I was downloading it, I saw like a notification that Crypt the Necro Dancer had gone from early access to full release.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to play this. I played 15 minutes of Chroma Squad and like 6 hours of Crypt the Necro Dancer.
It sounds about right, though. Like, my big game from around that time that I kickstarted to Broken Age, that the full version of that came out last week, and I haven't even touched it. I've just been playing Chroma Squad instead.
Well, that's because that's $3.3 million.
Yeah, this is true, too.
Like, I just... Okay, here's the thing. When you come up with a game that looks like... what is that? The one with Jack Black?
Oh, Brutal Legend.
When you come up with Brutal Legend, fantastic game. You know, amazing thing. And then you switch over to story mode, or, you know, like an adventure game. Mm-hmm. And it comes out to be like Broken Age. That to me personally, because I'm expecting more, it was kind of underwhelming.
Yeah. Okay. I too want to point out, like, I played the first half of Broken Age that came out last year, and I really sincerely hope that the second part is a lot longer, because I got through the first part of it in a night, and what I played was really good. It felt like, I don't know, like, they were going for that classic LucasArts kind of feel, but honestly, it reminded me more of something by Humongous Games, which isn't, like, it's not a bad thing. It just, everything felt more like Putt-Putt Saves the Zoo or something than Maniac Mansion. Like, it really did.
Well, I mean, it's like, I'm really going to disagree with you on this, Jesus, because it's just like, the point of their Kickstarter was they wanted to make an adventure game, and so they asked for $500,000, and then people gave them $3 million. So you would have rather had them make a $500,000 game and then keep the rest of the money? When you give people like that expanded level of money, you're kind of making them increase their scope. And so what you got wasn't originally what they wanted to make. They made the game that they had to make with the money. And, budget like that, $3 million doesn't really go that far. It's not going to give you Call of Duty Black Ops.
First, on the budget-wise, I think in the digital age, when you don't need a lot of marketing, when you go by buzz, you know, what is it, like Mega Mighty 9, the guy that did the Mega Man thing?
Yeah, Mighty Number 9.
How much did they make?
They made something in the millions.
I don't know, but it's also not done yet.
No, they've released some builds for it, and people are just disgusted what they're looking at.
It's not done yet, though.
Yeah, it's nowhere near done. Like, it's supposed to come out, like, it's either at the end of the year or next year, but I don't think they've released a build since
But the thing is,
even if he raised, like, $10 million... I don't think it'd be fair to kind of look at that game and go like, oh, it's just Mega Man. That's the game he wanted to make.
Yeah.
When you copy and paste everything with like Mighty Number 9, even to the fact where like Roll is another girl, you know, and Zero is another guy that has like almost the same kind of connotation to it, including the name, that kind of is like, okay, you're just copying Mega Man, cutting and pasting them into a 2.5. Well, it wasn't even 2.5.
That's what they're doing. Because...
Yeah. And even though if they were copying and pasting, Mighty Number 9, like, the production values are way higher than any Mega Man that Capcom's done since the PS1 generation. So that one, like, I think it's completely justified for them.
Yeah, and honestly, with a game like that, the dude was never known for his, original, super original character designs. It was known for his, like, mechanics.
Yeah.
You kind of flipped that, and a guy like Tim Schafer, who's not known for his mechanics, but for his writing ability, and it's like it's easier to believe that he could do something with $500,000, and all he's really going to do with $3 million is the same thing, but on a bigger scale.
Like, what I'll do is I'll reserve judgment for Mighty Number 9, but I played, like, Broken Age 2, and I played it for a little bit, and I just didn't enjoy it. It mainly because the art style, when you put in $3 million and you fill out stretch goals and all that, your stretch goals should include like improvements in your graphics too. Or not maybe your graphics, but improvements into what you're doing. Even if it includes like, hey, let's push this game back a little bit.
Well, I mean, art style isn't a correlation of money spent. I mean,
you
have to look at the animation that goes into that art style.
But I thought the art style was beautiful, honestly. Like, that's the best looking adventure game I've played in a while.
I didn't like it. I don't know why.
You're looking at development for, like, different, you know, platforms. You know, it's on the Vita, for crying out loud.
Yeah. You know?
And that's
and the Ouya. The Ouya got a version of Broken Age.
Yeah.
Like,
no, and I respect you guys' point of view and all that. And I know you guys respect mine and all that. But it's just, I guess it's just different taste.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes down to that. Because I know, like, Chroma Squad, I know I'm going to enjoy it. Like, I've seen a lot of, like, advanced copies of it and everything. And I know what's going to go down. And I think that actually lasts, like, $25,000. And so, I mean, that's a big comparison, you know, between a game that asks for $25,000 versus a game that gets $3 million. And so I think that's kind of an unfair judgment on my behalf, too, to say that these games should have the same action, same, you know...
Let me ask, do you consider Double Fine an indie game developer?
Not anymore.
Exactly. Like, but that's the thing, though. It's like they've always had people... They've always had people that they pay.
Well, no, it's like...
Like, it's been a team. It's been a medium, sized developer.
Not anymore, but I wish I didn't have to consider them not an indie developer, you know? Like, I wish they still stuck with that thing. But whatever.
I mean, I guess they technically are, but they're really, like, kind of harkening back to a conversation that we had, like, much earlier in the day. They're like the Bukowski or the Vonnegut of indie games, where, like, everybody's played them, but likes to wave them out as, like, oh, hey, like, Double Fine, I love this Double Fine game, I'm so unique, but everybody has played or had some exposure to, like, Psychonauts or something.
Yeah, like, Psychonauts is a Slaughterhouse-5.
Yeah, no, that's a great comparison, actually.
Everyone's played. Yeah, I know... A lot of people are like, oh, this, whatever. It's a lot of people played that. Yeah. They wouldn't have remade it if not enough people played it.
Yeah, and it's come out on, it's been released on everything. It's generally renowned as, like, a classic game of that generation.
I just don't like hoity to people who are like, I consume this media and I'm better than you. Shut up.
Well, speaking of Kickstarters, real quick, the Ukulele, which is the one from the guys from Rare.
I've got some things to say about that, too, but you should explain what it is first.
All right, we're going to do this quickly because we have that major announcement coming up. Ukulele is going to be the... it's a bunch of Rare developers from the age of Banjo-Kazooie going back and doing Banjo-Kazooie-style games because Microsoft is now doing Banjo-Kazooie on the Microsoft Kinect.
Ugh. You gotta collect all those collectibles with the Kinect.
Yep.
I think it's like more like a dance game or something. Like, you know,
a Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, all I saw was like the people with their arms outstretched, like controlling like Kazooie. That looks cool, I guess.
Man. No, you gotta collect shit. That's what a Banjo-Kazooie game is. Collect.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about. I realize I might have talked about this already, but I just want to like refresh it because people keep like asking me like at work and stuff. Man, have you seen Ukulele? It looks so cool. Oh my god. So Donkey Kong 64 came out on Wii U eShop like a few weeks ago, and I was kind of excited about it, and like I was like, whatever, okay, I'm gonna play this game. I wound up not buying it because I watched YouTube videos of it, and I was like, man, I really actually hated this game. I thought I enjoyed it when I was a kid, but I really hated it. And I started watching videos of Banjo-Kazooie, and it was the same thing. I feel like collectathon games have not aged well at all, and I was probably definitely Stockholm syndromed into enjoying them as a kid, because for the longest time, like, when N64 came out, like, those were the only kind of games I had. The games were really expensive, so I had, like, Mario 64, which is a game I really love, but it did the collectathon thing right. And then I had like Banjo-Kazooie, which I really forced myself to enjoy because I didn't really have much else, and it was not fun. And
a lot of those early 3D games were running around a muddy shit environment looking for tiny little muddy icons.
Yeah, and if Ukulele is just going to be more of that, but with prettier graphics, I'm going to wait for a Steam sale. Like, I'm not going to go out of my way to play it.
No, I know. I know what you mean.
Yeah, I don't like collectathon games. They're a huge waste of time. I don't have a lot of free time anymore. None of us do, because we're adults and we do this thing, you know?
Time's at a minimum. I don't know, Ryan played the Sunless Sea for 6 hours.
No, no, not straight. It was six hours over 2 weeks. That's why I was so mad.
I was about to say, if you want to get, like, technical, I've put, like, 20 in a GTA 5, but that's
I thought he was playing for 6 hours straight.
No,
I was frothing out the mouth with, like, jealousy and, like, oh, my God, this guy's got 6 hours of play.
The only reason I said that is because I was on that one. It's a roguelike, so I was on one character for 6 hours, and I was like, this is my character, and then I died.
No, it's funny because, like, when I was talking about Crypt of the Necrodancer, I played it one night. Like, I think the first night that I played it, I was going to be like, okay, I'm going to play Chroma Squad. Then I found Crypt of the Necrodancer, and 3 hours later, I'm like, holy shit, it's 1 o'clock. I got to go to sleep. I had one of those moments.
Yeah, I know. The night that I played Chroma Squad, I had work the next day. I stayed up till 6 in the morning playing it the night I got it.
Good lord.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was one of those things, like, it wasn't like I stayed up that late. It was like, oh, it's bedtime. I normally go to bed around 3 or 4 in the morning. I was like, okay, it's bedtime. I'm going to just boot this game up real quick and, like, see what it's about. No, I stayed up for way too long playing it, but I mean, it wasn't that I didn't wind up playing it that long.
And well, like, I know earlier, like, it seemed like all of us were kind of butting heads over Kickstarter and, you know, Broken Age and stuff like that, but I want you guys to know that, like, all of us are good enough friends to where we can butt heads and just laugh it off and whatever, you know, have a beer over it and stuff.
Whatever, I don't care. I hate you guys right now.
Yeah.
That sounds as like much something as somebody wrong would say.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was trying to Whitney Oprah this thing, or Whitney Oprah with the Oprah.
You're trying to run away from the argument is what you're trying to do.
Oh man.
No, but we know, all of us know our positions and everything, so that's kind of cool, you know. Speaking about all of us and how collective we are and Comic Palooza and everything. You know, we were talking about Comic Palooza earlier. What's you guys' like favorite Comic Palooza party moment that we've done?
Man, last year, playing that show at Neil's Bar, and Cereo Pharrell was there, like, pretty much front and center, and he didn't get up, at all. Like, he didn't, like, leave and be like, man, this guy sucks, or anything. He just watched me the whole time. That was cool. And then I blew it when I talked to him afterwards, because I was like, man, I liked you on Game of Thrones. And he's like, yeah, everyone does. And I like spaghettied over there, because, like, that character that he played was so cool. Like, he was awesome. And
then he died.
Yeah, real early on.
Did he die, or was it on-screen dead and off-screen
dead? That was, like, the thing is, like, it's assumed that he's dead. It's right near the end of the first season, so it's assumed that he's dead, but it doesn't show him die, so theoretically they could bring him back at some point, but now that they're on season, like, they're on season 4 now? Mm-hmm. Or no, it's season 5, isn't it? I don't remember.
Well, I have the right quote for him. It'd be like, I fought the God of Death and won.
Yeah, and but I mean, if they were going to bring him back, especially where with Arya's story is now, they would have done that already. But then again, now that I say that, with where Arya's story is at right now, they could potentially, like, just kind of bring him back, whatever, and it would seem like it they could do it in a non-contrived way. But
I was going to say, I'm not a Game of Thrones fan, but, like, if George R. R. Martin were, like, to bring him back as, like, a samurai, because he went to, like, he pretend died and went to, like, the, you know, the East and decided to, like, train in samurai stuff and came back, that would be cool.
That would be a thing. That would be really interesting. I mean, stranger things have happened.
Sean, what about you?
Man, I always enjoyed, like, the costume parties. The costume contest we did. That was a great little moment. There were, like, some great costumes, and people totally had tattoos of Bender on their butt.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That was just a moment of just like, wow, this really has a life of its own at this point, doesn't it?
Exactly. No. To me, since I organize these things and I see what happens afterwards, I really can't say anything, you know, like that I can pick out. But if I have to, it's gonna have. I wish we could bring this back, but it's been live art. You know, 1 year my idol in art, Jim Mahfood's throwing beer at a canvas. The next year, Al Garz is selling me like one of his what is amazing, like originals for like $40. You know, the next year David Mack is like, dude, you've been hosting us for parties, here's this, and gives me a painting. And that feeling is just amazing. I think that's what it is. So maybe if we can, we'll get some live art going again this year.
That'd be cool.
Ryan?
Sharing a beer with Ming Chen, that was pretty awesome. I'm just
just
having fun, and I always like sharing drinks with everyone, but sharing drinks with like a celebrity, that's pretty freaking cool.
So it's better to share drinks with them than with your friends?
Yes. It tastes much, much sweeter. I just like the whole social thing. I mean, especially everyone's just there because we're all nerds. Everyone's just there to be like, hey, it's hard to celebrate what we're excited for all the time.
Arse, yes.
I celebrate arse every day. I don't know.
That's true.
Well, no, let's go back to it. And right now you said that, you know, it's hard to celebrate. But yeah, no, when you celebrate with a celebrity that you get to know,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of different. Someone that actually enjoys what you're drinking. So yep. Ming Chen is a big craft beer head.
Yep.
Mm. And so we were sharing craft beer with him and he loved it.
Yeah.
So hopefully if Ming's listening or whatever, we're going to have a ton of craft beer on hand. So get to us. General public, you didn't hear that. Cover your ears. but you know, that's also really fun and everything. Or even when you drink with a stranger, like, what was that guy's name in Austin, Rex?
Oh, Zach.
Oh, God, Zach.
Zach.
All right, yeah,
we're talking about all this too, and I'm just keep thinking not to change the subject or anything. It makes me sad because like we'll be at Comic Palooza this year, and everybody's gonna be like sharing craft beers and everything, and I'm just gonna be sitting there in the corner with like my gluten free beer.
That's so craft.
Longingly, it is still craft technically.
Just talk it up as if it's like really rare.
Yeah.
It's been aged. It's got a special hops.
If anything, I think Neil's always carries Leprechaun Cider.
Yeah, this is true too. I'm gonna be buying a lot of gluten free beer before you go to Comic Palooza though.
So. Wait, what liquor is gluten free? I know.
Yes, wait, hold on. Rex, yes. Before we go tonight, mm-hmm. go ahead and give us kind of like a gluten free allergen kind of guide to alcohol.
Okay, so you're going to hear a lot of different stuff from a lot of different people, but I've been doing nothing but research on this for the past, like, I guess it's been about a month and a half since
this.
Because I get real, real sick if I have any weed.
Yes, so don't smoke weed.
Yeah, don't smoke the weed. No, like, I was sick,
weed.
No, sorry. Like, if you were listening to the podcast or, like, even saw us in public, you probably noticed, like, most of last year, I was just kind of, like, really out of it and just sick-looking, and it got to the point, like, it was around last fall where I kind of bottomed out, and I went to the doctor, they prescribed me they diagnosed me with a bunch of ridiculous, like, ailments and stuff, and I was like, no, that can't be right, because no one person can have all this like stuff be wrong with them. And I took the medicine for all that, nothing got better, and then around March or end of February, early March, I went to another doctor to get a second opinion, and he's like, you're probably allergic to wheat. They ran a bunch of other tests on me, they all came back negative, and he's like, probably allergic to wheat, you should stop eating it, and if it all clears up, you've probably got celiac disease. So I did what he told me. everything cleared up. Like, it took a while to, like, patch up my gut and everything, but now, like, 90% of the time, I feel better than I ever have in my life. So, now I have to, like, stick to it, and it's whatever, but I can still drink, which is awesome, and, but I can't have a lot of things, but what I can have is, like, gluten-free beer for the most part. I haven't tried Omission yet, because I am very, very sensitive to cross-contamination, and Omission and beers that are made like Omission, all they do is make normal beer, and they pour a chemical on it that, kind of dissolves the gluten out, but doesn't get all of it. So I haven't really messed with that yet, but there's sorghum beer, and there's another one that I haven't tried yet. Mostly I've been drinking sorghum beer. It's really cool, but you have to be very careful when you open it because it likes to fizz all over the place.
What about
all
right, now, Rex, what animals do you catch celiac disease from?
Monkeys.
Yeah, lemurs also.
Honest answer is your Griffins? Parents or grandparents, though.
Okay. So, like it's check if your grandparents are monkeys. Got it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's a hereditary thing. Like, if you hug lemurs or monkeys, you have celiac disease. But if you don't hug them, you're cool.
Yeah.
So, are koala bears okay?
What liquors can you drink?
Liquors. Okay, so I can have vodka, but it has to be straight up potato vodka. A lot of vodkas are cut with wheat now. For a lot of everything is cut with wheat. Like, I fucking got gluten from soap the other day. Like, people make fun of, like, gluten-free shampoo and everything. No, that I actually had that happen, and it sucked, and I was sick for, like, 2 or 3 days. It was terrible. But, yeah, no, vodka, as long as it's made with potatoes, Absolut is the brand that I always hear is good for people with celiac or regular gluten intolerances. I haven't tried it yet because I'm not huge on vodka. Mostly tequila. Like, when I drink liquor, I go straight for tequila. I always have.
Okay.
Yeah, it's agave. Most tequilas are going to be 100% agave unless you go for the lower shelf ones, and sometimes those are cut with wheat too for whatever reason, which is really stupid, and I should have known.
Let's just keep the cost down, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's cut with wheat these days, isn't it?
Yeah, most things are, and I should have, God, it's so dumb. Like, I should have known something was up, like, a long time ago, because I used to get, like, really, really sick after only drinking, like, 2 or 3 beers a night, but I could have tequila, like, I could drink, like, 6 shots of tequila and be okay, like, as long as I drink some water with it. So that should have been a big sign, but now tequila's good, gin is good for the most part.
Gin tonic, alright. Juniper?
Yeah, juniper, like, yeah, gin's good. Jägermeister, which is my other go-to, is also fine. Awesome. So that's really about it. Everything else, like scotch and whiskey, some people can have it, but if you're sensitive to it as I am, it's a no-go, like, big time.
Well, there you go. If you're a celiac, is that the proper term?
Well, celiac and gluten intolerant are technically two different things, just like dairy allergy and lactose intolerant, but they go hand in hand pretty much.
All right, so if you can't have gluten, is that better?
Yeah, if you can't process wheat in your body, then...
Rex just gave you, like, a blueprint for whatever you can to have to get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Can you drink rubbing alcohol?
You can.
Awesome. So, earlier I posted on Space City Nerd that we had a major announcement. And I think it's time. Guys, right? Yeah. So, earlier I kind of let slip that, you know, maybe this year we'll have live art. And that's because this year we are going to have Comic Palooza after parties.
Woo! Yay!
This year, Friday and Saturday, we will be at Neil's Bar. Right now, confirmed for entertainment are Josh Crow and I have to ask Josh Crow. So
Josh, you are now playing at Neil's Bar.
Yeah, Josh.
You're on blast.
And then we're also having Crunkwitch on Friday, which if you haven't seen, they're a very amazing power couple. We're going to play one of their songs after this, after the podcast, so stay tuned for that. Of course, you can find them at crunkwitch.bandcamp.com. Very awesome band, very energetic, very, you know, just spontaneous at what they do. It's really cool.
And then on Saturday, we're announcing it now, Johnny Hackenslash will be making his long-awaited return to the stage. I don't know how long that guy's been out of the stage, so hope he's not as rusty as Jason's machete. But to close out the night, if you went last year to our parties, we had a very special DJ. Her name was DJ Angeliste. Played an amazing show.
The best.
Like, we asked her to do 90s music, and she blew her brains out. Like, I was like, okay, cool, Barbie Girl, you know, No Diggity, whatever.
Space Jam.
Well, she hooked on some Space Jam, but she did everything else that we weren't even thinking about. Mm-hmm. So we're happy to have her back. And, of course, we're going to have a costume contest, specialty drinks. And the cool thing is, I know last year a lot of people got mad at us because they couldn't get in on time. I think, like, by 9:30 there was, like, a hour wait outside the club or something. The bar, sorry, not the club.
Yeah.
And we have two solutions for that. Either you get there early and skip those lines, or we'll be giving away a couple of pair of passes that we're going to call golden tickets to get in. That'll get you in by a certain hour, guaranteed. If you come in after the hour that we're going to note, then you're kind of shit out of luck and have to get in line. But that's the benefit of getting the golden tickets, is that you actually want to come out to the parties. Also, last year there were a lot of celebrities out there. That's probably going to happen again. We actually may have a celebrity cosplay guest last year. And that's all thanks to Betacon. You know, Betacon has provided us with a lot of contacts. We may have to shut that down and just turn it into the party at Neil's. So expect one of the cosplay contest people to be Jesus Christ judging you.
Yeah. He's really good at judging.
Yeah, it's... so New Testament Jesus will be a cosplay guest at Betacon the weekend of Comicpalooza. And maybe Ball Pit will make an appearance at Betacon.
We're still working out deals with his agent, but
this guy's so busy. Like, when they cut out all the McPlay places at McDonald's, he had to go take up, you know, all these other jobs.
Well, their agent said that he has too many balls in the air right now, which I thought was kind of funny.
He's busier than Henry Rollins. It's fucking insane.
But anyways, we're, like I said, we're trying to get Ball Pit out to Betacon. I know we have Jesus confirmed, so stay tuned for all that stuff. And by the end of the week, we'll have an event page on Facebook, so you can sign up, check out all the details and everything. And it's been a very long show tonight. Thank you again for sticking with us. On behalf of myself, Ryan, Rex, Sean, and also the Mad Men crew, good night, Space City. We'll be right back.
Bye.